1057 WLGC presents Airing It Out. Now, here's your host, Drew Skaggs.
I need that microphone, don't I?
Yeah, it helps.
I'm glad you're here to tell me that, or else I'd have just been talking into the middle of the air. The sticky, humid air here.
Yes.
At 1057 WLGC, located two blocks from the always crystal clear Ohio River. This is Airing It Out. Welcome to our juggernaut of a show.
I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish.
Wait.
But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
You know, Kanye shows up and this. You know, I know that we're a global show. Because so many people, so much of the state-controlled media picks up on what we talk about. But, you know, listen, Kanye, just get out of there. We got so much to talk about.
We do.
I never thought I'd say this, okay? We're going to talk, of course, about the President Barack Obama, but Kanye West, Serena Williams, and Jimmy Carter. I never thought that combination would link up in a very festive show, but indeed they have. You know, would you agree or disagree with, by the way, they came out with the universal health care plan today. Max Baucus, they moved it out of the Senate Finance Committee. Did you see that? $856 billion over 10 years, and we're going to talk about that. Are you for it or against it? Now, I mean, I know you've not seen it because we're going to talk about the kind of some of the specifics, but, you know, another 1,000-page document, so it's going to be hard to do that. Are just in general, for it or against it? Universal health care.
I'm against it.
Okay. You're a racist. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You see how he gets... they are so... discombobulated on the left. They don't know which. They did not see this coming. The American people rising up and saying, we don't want it. They tried to bite off more than they could chew. Went too fast, too quick, too early. It's not how our system was set up. And the sleeping giant that is the American people have awoken. So we don't want it, and they don't know what to do. So naturally, what happens then is the race card comes out, this one comes out from James Earl Carter, with Hoover, Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Carter. I mean, it's really a race to the bottom of the barrel as far as the worst president in the 20th century. But Jimmy's right in there. I mean. He's in that discussion group of worst presidents ever. But he came out and is flapping the peanut farmer is just flapping his gums about how we're racist because we're not going along with the plan, which creates a conundrum. Do you know how?
No.
Barack Obama's half white, so.
Right.
You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
I don't know how he takes it.
Yeah.
Which part of me is racist, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
Right.
I'm being facetious, but in the face of such absurdity as Jimmy Carter today, what else can you be? The Ironton Tribune, race and editorial, want to know what the title of it is?
Sure.
Have We Lost All Manners? Where have they been? This has been a discussion point here at Airing It Out for how long now?
Since the show started.
Yeah. And my thesis, theory, has always been we have gone downhill as a culture in terms of everyday manners. And we've talked about it at length here in the Ironton Tribune, obviously listening to Airing It Out. Of course, they're bringing it up. Along with Joe Wilson and all that other stuff, by the way, we can be reached 1-800-551-1057 or by going to drewskaggs.com. That's with a K for the live internet stream of the show. The Steve Nunn deal. I touched on it a little bit with Scott. You know, I've tried to stay arm's length away from it because, as I told Scott, for those of you that don't know, it's and I agree with Scott. I think it is going to bounce out nationally, you know, within the next 48 hours because there's just been so much stuff in the news. But I think the Steve Nunn thing will bounce nationally. Steve Nunn, son of Louis Nunn, last Republican governor in the Commonwealth of Kentucky before Ernie Fletcher. Steve Nunn ran for the gubernatorial nomination on the Republican side of things in 2003, lost the primary to Ernie Fletcher, who then became governor. Steve Nunn was a state rep from Glasgow, Kentucky, Barron County. A famous name in Kentucky politics, a famous last name in Kentucky politics. And Steve made his own mark. Steve was known and is known in Frankfort as somebody that was able to work both sides of the aisle. He had Democrat admirers, he had Republican admirers. And as with anything like that, you've got detractors on both sides, too, that don't agree with working across the aisle. And that's a show for another day. But Steve was well-known, and is well-known, in Frankfort. And the political culture up there, he's been entrenched in it for many a year. And he is now charged with the murder of his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, obviously now. And they found him in the cemetery at his parents' gravesite with his wrists slit. And I guess in the ambulance ride, he really talked a lot about how he wanted revenge, and he didn't come out and fess up to the murder. But they're saying that, at least I'm putting to, I shouldn't say they just yet, but she was murdered with a .38 to the back of her head, a special .38, whatever that is. I don't know anything about handguns, really, other than I approve of of our right to carry them. A special .38. I don't know exactly what that means, but if somebody wants to illuminate us, please do. And I'm going to bet a dollar to a donut that that this matches up with the gun that was found on him at the gravesite. So everybody's been, and there's stuff that's come out, like he went to the what do you call the people, the monument people, and he wanted September 11th, 2009, on his grave tombstone. Prior to September 11th of 2009. So basically, what these stories are saying is he acted in a premeditated fashion, and the murder of Amanda Ross, which was the unfortunate lady's name that was murdered in cold blood in Lexington on Friday morning. And I was about a half a block away from this in Lexington on Friday morning. Was it Friday? Friday morning. And I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on and didn't see anything. But it's you find it so hard to believe that somebody could fall so fast into utter despair as Steve has. And as I told Scott, I was an acquaintance with Steve Nunn. We went, my wife and I attended a Kentucky Derby with Steve Nunn and his ex-wife, Tracy, who he divorced before dating this lady that is now dead. And it's bizarre. Because I've been around Steve Nunn probably three times. Dinner once, horse racing, and there was one other time. And nothing but a gentleman. Just a funny, puts you at ease. He's one of those guys, you know, Jeff, here's the deal. When you meet people, it's always a sizing up thing, isn't it? I mean, it's just, that's human nature.
Yeah.
You size up whomever you meet for the first time. And usually, they're sized up within the first 5 minutes. You know, you can talk to somebody and you say to yourself, man, they're kind of shy. You know, they're not very outgoing, which, nothing wrong with that. That's just how people are sometimes.
Right.
And it falls across the whole personality spectrum of people. But Steve was just put you at ease immediately. It's just one of those things that you just. What I did was, you know, just do a tub. Steve, are you serious? Steve Nunn? He would be one of those guys that, if you have a list, you'd say the last person that I would think to do something as horrid and horrible as this is Steve Nunn. Because of his personality. Very outgoing. Just fun to be around. He and his ex-wife were both. We had a ball with him. And then it's so bizarre to see this in the paper. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just, I read it every day, and ever since it broke last Friday, you see stuff every single day now hitting.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm in bizarro world here.
Right.
I cannot believe that this is happening. And I was talking to somebody that knows Steve far better than I do. Shortly after this happened, actually, this was on Friday, last Friday. This is what I said on Friday. I said, this is a capital murder. I mean, they're going to go for the death penalty here, unless he cops to a life without parole. I think they're going to hang that over his head, literally. And you know what? If he did it, he deserves it. Got a viewer/listener combination thereof from the United Kingdom. Not UK, which is the University of Kentucky, as we commonly refer to it around here. This is actually the United Kingdom. And who's to say Airing It Out is not global? And so during the break, we were talking about, which, by the way, you can go to drewskaggs.com with a K, and there it is. And we were talking, talking to Adrian. Adrian, thanks for being out there, way across the pond.
Yeah, he says he's in he's near a place called Boston, in the UK.
Boston? Well, I was going to say Ted Kennedy Land, but
wrong Boston.
Right. Okay, cool. So, but what I said, he had typed you. I don't know. I guess I should pull it up. Let's see. What did he type you?
He was just asking about the show. I told him, we'd talk politics, current events, and stuff.
And he said he caught President Obama's speech on health care, the primetime address.
Right.
When was that? Monday. I mean, he gives primetime addresses, it seems, every 24 hours these days. So
yeah.
This was like Monday. Was it Monday, Tuesday? No, because it was Wednesday, Jeff Davis was on with us.
Right.
And I told you, just ask him what he thinks of NHS, which establishes our props. Because we know that NHS stands for National Health Service in Great Britain.
Right.
And Adrian, I'm sure, was suitably and indubitably impressed by the fact that we knew that.
Probably, yeah.
This station here in the in God's country of Kentucky, a state in our blessed union of states over here in the U.S. And I said, well, I asked him what he thinks of NHS. Now, we have no idea about this guy, right? We don't know.
Right, we don't know anything.
And he
about
puts back, NHS sucks.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Adrian. You just quantified everything we inherently know here in the States that we want nothing to do with universal health care, universal health coverage, however it's phrased. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Let's see. But thanks for being out there. We can be reached, by the way, 1-800-551-1057. Our old buddy Barbara Lund from Lynx, Ohio. She belongs to this group called Save Our Shawnee Forest. She writes into the Portsmouth paper and the Arlington paper all the time. She's got a new one. Let's see. This is grass is not mown. Mown. Is it M-O-W-N? It's mowed, isn't it? Is that what it's supposed to be?
I think so, yeah.
Grass is not mown in Shawnee Forest. I don't know how she finds this, but recently in Shawnee State Forest, a bush hog already had mowed through some state-threatened small white snake root. You take them one at a time, it's rather innocuous, small white snake root. What is that? I guess it's grass. It was headed toward the only known state-endangered silver plume grass in Ohio, which was just 100 yards from the snake root The mower was clearing a utility right-of-way and had the right to mow. However, an equipment operator was willing to look at the site and take the information to his supervisor. The forest manager was notified, and a decision was made to spare the silver plume grass. Yes, the perennial grass probably would have survived being mowed just as it was beginning to bloom, but its vigor would have been diminished. So what are you writing about, Barbara? It's going to come back. Well, it's a perennial, sounds to me like, doesn't it? If it's a perennial and it comes back each and every year, you can't tell me you can't take silver plume grass and plant it all over Ohio. It's not. You can't tell me silver plume grass can only grow in the Shawnee Forest. Here she goes. Yes, the perennial grass probably would, like I said. And organisms totally dependent on the flowers or seeds of that particular species may not have survived the loss. Every species has value, both to itself and to others. Recognizing the preserving the value of everything enriches the ecology of the forest and strengthens the web of life in Shawnee. Run-on sentence. The plume-lye flower heads of the silver plume grass are quite pretty. They has aesthetic value to humans. Yes, has. Yes, they do. And you took the time to write this? What? We've got more important things to do, like Kanye. I don't know, whichever one you want to play. Kanye's all important these days.
That's true. He's everywhere.
It's up to you. You're the guy running the board. We've got more important things to talk about, such as Kanye West.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
It's not true.
It's not true. That's the best part of that. It's not true. No, Beyonce did not. Taylor had the best. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, man, like I said, Kanye West, Serena Williams, and Jimmy Carter on the other side of the break, as well as our own version of the NHS, Universal Healthcare, which the liberal wing of the Democrat Party, an oxymoron, I know, came out, Max Baugus, specifically with their plan today. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have so much fun. It's just one of those shows that is going to be a blast because it is the gift that keeps on giving, which is Kanye West.
Yeah.
Never been a fan of his, really. I mean, I'm a fan of Eminem, Eminem because I grew up about 7 miles away from him. He grew up 7 miles away from me is a better way to put it. He tells stories, yeah, some vulgar, oh, mostly vulgar, in his music. Kanye, I've never really got, I don't know. I just, you know,
I
get Jay-Z because Jay-Z, listen, Jay-Z is married to Beyonce. Do I need to say anything more? And Adrian over in Boston in the UK, listen, this is not our usual show, trust me. We don't usually talk about rap music here. But the Ironton Tribune, I tell you what, why don't we just play the original thing where Kanye interrupts poor little Taylor Swift. Taylor has transcended country music. She is now, what do they call that? She's a crossover artist. She's
right.
Made that crossover.
Yeah.
And she's huge. And she got, and actually she's not, she looks like she weighs about 95 pounds soaking wet. But, literally. She got, what was it, best video of the year?
Something like that.
Something, I don't know. Some video, the VMAs is where it was played. And this is what all the hubbub has been over. If you don't know where our country is as a culture, you would have picked up the paper in the last 3 days and gone, who is this Kanye West? You would think that he controls a lot of stuff over here, but this is him interrupting poor Taylor Swift.
I'm gonna let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
The best videos of all time. And everybody's mad about it. And the Ironton Tribune picks it up which is something we've been talking about for 2 years. Congratulations, welcome aboard, Ironton Tribune. It took Kanye West to get you over here. Have we lost all manners, entitled? This is by the editorial board. Have we become a culture of rude, crude, and obnoxious egotists who have forgotten how to treat our fellow human beings? Over Kanye? This causes you to go with that sentence? Overall, maybe not. Overall, I would agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, Tribune. Step out on the ledge there and make a decision. Yes or no? Furt or again it? Let's decide here. But the answer may be yes in far too many cases. A perfect example is Sunday's VMA Awards. VMA Video Music Awards MTV. It's the Neil Armstrong deal, right? Speaking
yes.
of Neil Armstrong. Pop singer Kanye West, who has a reputation as a self-centered jerk. Wow. They just put that on there. You know, it's not even in quotation marks. It's just, hey, he's got a reputation as a jerk. Yep. Self-centered. Now, if he only drove a Harley. Charged onto stage during 19-year-old singer Taylor Swift's acceptance speech for, here it is, Best Female Video. West interrupted her to proclaim that the award should have gone to Beyoncé. She was so embarrassed, Taylor was, that she had to leave the stage without finishing her speech, reportedly breaking down in tears. In a classy move, and it was, Beyoncé, this is me saying that, Beyoncé invited Swift back on stage to finish her speech. You don't have to go to Hollywood to find this kind of behavior. There are plenty of examples right here at home. And we have cataloged them, have we not?
We have.
One of my pet peeves is, I've probably come out with 10 or 12 different run-ins, various life experiences is that I've had dealing with rude people.
Right, especially when you go to the grocery store.
Invariably, when I go to the grocery store. From the driver on the highway who clearly has road rage to the diners in a restaurant who seem oblivious to the fact they are disturbing others and being rude to the waitress to the person who simply doesn't have anything nice to say to or about anybody else. Many Americans don't fit this mold, but the sad reality is that those who don't possess any manners give us all a bad reputation. If each of us work harder to be nicer to one another, this world we live in will be a better place. Hopefully this will create a better class of celebrity, too. A class of celebrity? You got to be kidding me. Did you see, by the way, Burt Reynolds is in rehab?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Poor Burt. Smoking the Bandit stuff finally caught up to him. But, yeah, so it took Kanye West to do that. And Kanye has not only insulted other famous people in much the same vein. I don't know why it took Taylor Swift to all of a sudden outrage people. You've got an example.
I'm going to step off the limb.
That's Neil Armstrong. That's what we were just talking about.
That's one small step for man.
Neil, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Michael Jackson did one of the best moonwalks of all time. One of the best moonwalks of all time.
He's calling out Neil Armstrong. First man on the moon. And there was no outrage. The Ironton Tribune didn't see fit to come with an editorial board page about how outraged they are about Kanye West just saying that same thing to Neil Armstrong, an American hero.
Yeah.
And we've got another one.
Adolf Hitler, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But Idi Amin was one of the best dictators of all time. One of the best dictators of all time.
Listen, anybody with half a brain, which Kanye obviously doesn't have, anybody knows that Adolf Hitler trumped Idi Amin. I mean, Idi had his moments. And that's not EDIE, that's IDI, just in case. That's how Idi Amin spelled it. So you got him doing that, and of course we're taking... What is the license we're taking? I know there's a word for that. Not a literal license. We're taking a
comedic license.
Yes, I guess that's another way to put it.
Yeah.
But he the Irondale Tribune gets mad when Kanye West, on a serious note, not really because it's Kanye West, but insults Taylor Swift. But Kanye West can insult the sitting president of the United States with this comment, and they don't care.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah. And didn't seem to bother the Ironton Tribune. I don't remember an article being written about our manners as a culture back then, saying that George Bush doesn't like white people. So one wonders, what does the president think about all of this hubbub about Kanye? And, I made this. We're going to have his numbers out here. Rasmussen came out with some more numbers today. 55% of Americans are now against universal health care. President Obama continues his slide. I warned about this 6 months ago. I said this guy has got to be before a TV camera or a mic or what. He's got to be out there every single day. And he is going to oversaturate people. People don't want to hear from the President of the United States each and every day. Let alone something as silly as Kanye West and Taylor Swift. But I got all kinds of text messages, emails, phone calls. Hey, Skaggs, did you catch the President's take on the Kanye West thing? Yeah, I caught it. First thing I agreed with him on. 8 months, first thing. This is what he said.
I thought that was really inappropriate. You know, I mean, it's like she's getting an award. What are you butting in? I hear you. I agree with you. I hope.
Does that count as the first question?
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award. What's he doing?
Why would
up
he
there?
Do that?
He's a jackass. No. This all this stuff.
That's what Pink
said. I'm assuming all this stuff. Where's the pool? Come on, guys. Cut the president some slack. I got a lot of other stuff on my plate.
Well, you heard him going, "Where's the pool?" And that's the press pool, is what he's referring to there. And listen. So he said that. You know, that's what he thinks. And no big deal. And I know some of my conservative brethren. For you, Adrian, over in the UK, who agrees with the supermarket thing, rude people. Right. See, it crosses the pond.
Yeah.
It goes all the way to the United Kingdom. My conservative brethren here in the United States, Adrian, or I shouldn't make the leap that he's got Tory brethren, because I'm not saying that. That's just I'm giving him a marker. Of course, he knows what that is. The people listening might not. The Tories in the UK are the conservative, who Gordon Brown is just going to get. He's going to get smacked around literally in this next election coming up. Although I'm sure people didn't really tune in to hear about British politics. But as an aside, I've had him. I've read this is beneath the presidency. You know, he shouldn't have commented on it. This is beneath the dignity of the office. Get over yourself, okay? It was no big deal when George Bush was talking to Adam Klein. He was talking to Dick Cheney about Adam Clymer of the New York Times, and he used similar language as the president called Kanye, but it was a different word.
Okay.
He front loaded. The cuss word followed by something else, and people and the liberals, which as Adrian well knows, and as people in trade, we're trying to educate them, educate our listeners to the world political scene. So the libs over here, which would be commiserate with the Labour Party in the UK, just they went ballistic. Oh yeah. Can't believe the president said that. That is just, well, I mean, there's a difference. He didn't know the mic was on. Well, I don't know. Obama acted like he didn't know the mic was on. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I do agree with him. I mean, I think the majority of people agree with him on that.
You know, everybody's saying that, you know, he, you know, shouldn't have said that or whatever. But, you know, I mean, maybe it's not the president's job to call people jackasses or whatever.
Right.
But I think that's I don't disagree with it, so I don't think that there's any harm in saying it.
No, it's not, you know, and it humanizes the president. He was asked about it. He didn't duck the question or whatever and gave his little political whatever. But it humanizes him to a certain degree because so many presidents get caught in that bubble and they're just not – after a while, it seems like they move about as if by rote. It's you know, there's – I don't know. It's hard to describe this. It's just – I think a lot of people find that have been following the healthcare debates and following the stimulus debacle and following the cap and tax and all these incredibly important things that the president is pushing and finding significant push back against what he's wanting, you know, this provides a little levity, a little comedic levity for Kanye. But, you know, Kanye's just got to feel like he knew he – I'm sure on that night he was sucking down the Hennessy pretty hard. So he probably didn't know it that night. But when the president calls you out, you know you stepped in it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know where I'm coming from?
I do know.
Yeah. You know you stepped on it, stepped in it and on it, and it's all over you when the president calls you out. I know you got some little bit to play.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Lou Gehrig, I'm really happy for you. I'm going to let you finish. But since he's married to Beyonce, Jay-Z is one of the luckiest men of all time. One of the luckiest men of all time.
I'm with Kanye there. I mean, the Iron Horse, Lou Gehrig, was a great hitter.
Yeah.
But he was not married to Beyonce.
True.
Right?
Right.
I mean, listen, Kanye's right about that one. Jay-Z. No. Jay-Z is one of the luckiest men alive today because he is married to Beyonce. You know you've made it when you just go with your first name.
Yeah.
You know? You know you've made it.
Right.
I don't agree with a lot of the first namers. Madonna, who, by the way, grew up within probably 20 miles of where I grew up. Madonna. Ugh. Cher. Ugh. I don't know. Who else can we come up with here? Beyonce. See, there's very few.
Yeah.
There's very few.
Yeah, I mean, not a woman, but you got Elvis.
One of our listeners says Pele. That's true.
Yeah.
Pele. What about, throw a bone to our UK listener, our United Kingdom listener, Bono, but that's Northern Ireland. Or is that Ireland? Where is Bono from? Is he from Belfast?
I don't know where he's from.
Huh?
I don't know.
Well, Bono's definitely one, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, pull him a little late on that. In the UK, John and Paul.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people know what we're talking about when you say John and Paul.
Right.
So, it's... Hey, you're right. He's from Dublin.
Okay.
Bono is from Dublin.
I don't pay that much.
Which is Dublin's music. Ireland. It's not Belfast in Northern Ireland.
Right.
But Dublin is just Ireland proper.
Right.
Is there a Southern Ireland?
I don't know.
How does that all work? How do you have a Northern Ireland and an Ireland?
I don't know.
Are they one and the same now? Are they like East Germany and West Germany and they've...
I think Northern Ireland is part of the UK and Ireland itself is something else, I think. I don't know.
So does Ireland and Scotland, you would think that they'd be at each other's throats. But don't you? I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Ireland, you would think.
You would think.
Yeah, but somehow they've managed to overcome the animosity between the two countries.
Yeah.
Wow, this show. When I started the show, I was thinking, you know, Kanye, but and I knew it could go some weird places, and it really has. Yeah. but it's been fun. I was just informed that Protestants and Catholics is the difference.
Okay.
So I think Northern Ireland is the Catholic sector, and Ireland itself is the Protestant, I believe.
I don't know.
But they all hate England. Sorry about that, Adrian. That's just what I was told.
Yeah, Adrian probably knows that by now.
Nope, so I was wrong. I don't know where. I don't know. I don't know what Northern Ireland
is. I don't know anything, really.
I know that there's some good golfers over there. There's some good golf courses.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some nice...
Some of the original golf courses
over
there.
Yeah, there are. Absolutely. All right, let's bring it... I was wrong. Northern Ireland is Protestant. Ireland itself is Catholic, so I had it flipped around.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I can sleep now, knowing that. Let's bring it back in between the yellow lines here, because we were just about to go off into a crevice, full steam ahead. So we're gonna come back with this. The liberals, you know. The liberals in this country, Jim Crawford, I know you're out there listening, Jim. I know you listen, writer for the Tribune. All you heard was how the Patriot Act, and you heard it from local guys like Jim, and you heard it from, of course, the monkey grinding pipe organ that is the New York Times, Washington Post, all the usual liberal suspects. When the Patriot Act was passed, oh, this is... the end of life as we know it. George Bush is going to be tapping into each and every one of Grandma Emma's phone calls. And we're all doomed because the government is now listening in to our private conversations. And Barack Obama, on the campaign trail, said, "I am going to get rid of the Patriot Act." How things change once you become President of the United States. This is number 10, Dateline Washington. Obama backs extending Patriot Act. I find this so deliciously ironic. The Obama administration supports extending three key provisions of the Patriot Act that are due to expire at the end of the year, the U.S. Justice Department told Congress in a letter made public Tuesday. Yeah. This is going to drive his liberal base batty. You know, I take that back. I don't think we're going to hear. My natural inclination is to say the libs are just going to go nutso about this because here's the president that promised to repeal the Patriot Act when he became president. Now saying, yeah, I'm going to extend it. I'm going to extend wiretapping. And we'll get into the provisions here shortly. They're not going to. My gut reaction is they're going to go nuts. But here's the difference. It's their guy that's up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So, naturally, the liberals are going to say, another liberal. That's perfectly A-OK. Using the Patriot Act is perfectly fine. Because we know that as a liberal, it will not be abused. Only the dastardly evil George Bush should not have been allowed the Patriot Act. And I think we've had the discussion on the show where I said, you liberals need to be careful because there's going to come a time and day when you have your own in that office. And what are you going to do if they decide they want it? But knowing liberals like I do, it's their guy now that's got the hands on the wiretapping. Controls in this country. So, as hypocritical as they are, it fits. Some lawmakers and civil rights groups had been pressing the Democratic administration to say whether it wants to preserve the post-9/11 law's authority to access business records as well as monitor so-called quote-unquote lone wolf terrorists and conduct roving wiretaps. Yes. Roving wiretaps... under the auspices of Karl Rove at the time, was evil incarnate. The provision on business records was long criticized by rights groups as giving the government access to citizens' library records, and a coalition of liberal and conservative groups complained that the Patriot Act gives the... Who were the conservative groups? I can see libertarians saying, we don't want this. We don't care. And I can see that. But conservative, I just don't. The Patriot Act gives the government too much authority to snoop into Americans' private lives as a presidential candidate. Barack Obama said he would take a close look at the law based on his past expertise in U.S. constitutional law. He didn't say anything of the sort. He said he was going to repeal it. Okay, so I'm laughing at that, but I'm also laughing at the fact that he's an expert in U.S. constitutional law. Just because he taught at the University of Chicago, that makes him an expert on U.S. constitutional law. You know, actually, the ones that are the experts on constitutional law are the ones that actually get in a courtroom and argue the case. Did Barack Obama ever do that in between community organizing and teaching at Chicago University? Of course he didn't. It's just typical revisionism. Back in May, President Obama said legal institutions must be updated to deal with the threat of terrorism, but in a way that preserves the rule of law and accountability. Okay, so what do we have here? The so-called expert in U.S. constitutional law, our sitting president, Barack Obama, said he is going to update our legal institutions to deal with the threat of terrorism, but in a way that preserves the rule of law and accountability. And he has now signed off on just exactly what George W. Bush did. So, it stands to reason that what George W. Bush did vis-a-vis the Patriot Act was entirely within the rule of law and accountability. But somehow, I doubt that you're going to see that phrased in just such a way, especially from people like Jim Crawford here locally, or the New York Times, or the Washington Post, or the Alphabet Networks, the liberal glitterati. You'll not see that at all. So I get that question a lot. How do you get into a chat room? How do you get into your chat room there at drewskaggs.com? You click on a video, right? I need to say that more often.
Yeah, click on the video. It'll open up a separate window. And then you just put in a chat name. You don't have to sign up for anything.
No profanities.
Yeah, we need to keep it. It's a family-oriented
show. It is.
So
we're a family show.
We need to keep the website family-oriented.
And we are currently engaged in a conversation with somebody from Boston in the United Kingdom, which I have now been told by our trusty buddy out there that just ripped on our website is Lincolnshire. Yeah, is where Boston in the UK is. At least that's what he tells me. I have no reason to doubt it.
London, I don't know how to.
I don't know how do you say Lincolnshire? I mean,
Lincolnshire.
We can say it. It's hard to say it with an Eastern Kentucky accent.
Yeah.
You know, Lincolnshire.
It's not Shire.
I don't know.
Shire. It's like Louisville. It's not Louisville.
Those crazy, crazy Brits. So I was talking about the media, how they were going to report this Patriot Act deal where President Obama has decided that, you know, upon further recollection, I've decided the Patriot Act's pretty good. You know what this is a direct result of? And kudos to President Obama for wanting to continue this program. He has seen the intel. He gets his daily national briefing every single morning from all of our intelligence agencies. He knows the threat we're facing. That's why he's extending this. He knows, and better yet, President Obama knows the successes we've had with the Patriot Act that cannot be publicized. That's the problem. Well, it's not a problem because our intelligence agencies cannot publicize our successes. Because, I mean, no matter how much the New York Times would love to blow the roof off every single intelligence program we have and endanger the lives of agents the world around, no matter how much they'd love to do it, and believe you me, they would, we can't publicize it. So I think this is a direct result of that. He has seen in his 8 months as president that, you know, this stuff is working pretty good. And I've taken a look at it, and Jim Bob, that's talking about his moonshine recipe up in Argolite is not going to have to worry about getting raided. We're not concerned with Aunt Emma's apple pie recipe, which is what I've said all along. But the media, I came across this story today. They are swirling the media, the liberal media, the state controlled media, and that encompasses so many the periodicals, the newspapers, the Alphabet Networks at night, the AP, Reuters. Encompasses all of those organizations. They are swirling down the toilet bowl at such a rapid rate. You know how you flush the toilet bowl? I love this. I really, you know, I'm sure people love hearing this. But you flush it, and it kind of starts out a little slow. And then all of a sudden it picks up in that, yeah, in that whirlpool fat. That is the media today. They are getting ready to be flushed out to the waste treatment center. Dateline CBS, number 11 poll. News media's credibility is plunging.
Surprise.
I mean, Captain Obvious just entered the room along with Gomer. The news media's credibility is sagging along with its revenue. Nearly two-thirds of Americans think the news stories they read, hear, and watch are frequently inaccurate, according to a poll released Sunday by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. That marks the highest level of skepticism recorded since 1985, when this study of public perceptions of the media was first done. Another way to put this, because remember, this is a media outlet reporting on this. Another way to put this is, don't bring 1985 up. This is the highest level of skepticism ever recorded, period. End of story, in 24 years. The survey found that 63% of the respondents thought the information they get from the media was often off base. In Pew Research's previous survey in 07, 53% expressed that doubt about accuracy. Newspaper ad sales plunged by 29%, or nearly $5.5 billion during the first half of this year. TV ad revenue on broadcast stations dropped by 12%, or nearly $3 billion during the same period. The Great Flood, quote-unquote, the Great Flood, this AP executive editor Keller says, the Great Flood that goes under the heading news media has been poisoned by junk blogs, gossip sheets, shout radio, and cable television partisans that don't deserve to be trusted. He told the AP in an email. In other words, it's not us. It's that dastardly internet that's causing this. Trust. No, it's not, you idiot. It's the people getting on the internet realizing that what you're shoveling to us is exactly that. You're shoveling. Horses come to mind. That's what you're shoveling, and people know it now. And you don't know how to deal with it. The awesome power of the internet has illuminated the media's sins of omission and commission, and there is a distinct and marked difference. It can't be hidden from the general public anymore. You can try to blame it on people. You can try to blame it on that amorphous internet. It's not them. It's not us. People trust us. It's the internet they don't trust. Yeah, they don't trust you, pal. And you need to wake up. So, the so-called fourth estate, which is what the media is called in this country, was given two options since the internet has been founded by Al Gore. They could either A, clean up their act and do their jobs honorably, report on the news without the bias, without the slant, or they could surrender their objectivity and be the ideologues that they really are. They chose to be ideologues. The good news is that this is a suicide run they're on. The media is losing money, viewers, and readers hand over fist. And there's many reasons, internet being one, but a lot of the reason is that they're on life support because there aren't enough left-of-center Americans to keep them in business. Americans don't... They want information. They want to know what's going on in the world. And the liberal rags and alphabet networks, they might not like hearing about Van Jones. They might not like hearing about Acorn. We haven't even talked about that, jeez. But even liberals want to know about it. They just ignore it. And it's failing for the same reason that all these anti-war, anti-Iraq war films have failed. Propaganda is dull. No matter your politics, people want stimulation. They want information, not affirmation. Tell me something I don't know. That's why the internet has done so well. That's why the internet is the death knell of the media. And the internet, the rise of it, they are the ones who watch the watchers. The watchers have always been who report to us at 5:30, the Perky Katie et al., our newspapers every day. They've always been the watchers. But now, with the internet, they're no longer relevant. The media has chosen their lot. And in honor of Adrian listening in Lincolnshire in the UK, they have become the palace guards of liberalism in this country. They don't report anymore. They just regurgitate. And I, for one, can't wait to see the day when they are out of business. And it's coming. No matter what they say, no matter how much they stick their heads in the sand. Wherever you are, be it here locally or across the pond in Great Britain, we appreciate the fact that you're listening to our show that now obviously has international reach. And that is accomplished not through this blowtorch of a radio station. Of course, it enables us to reach the UK through the wonder of the internet, which is what we were just talking about, at drewskaggs.com. Ryan, a frequent listener to the show, called in and he said, you know, I noticed you said that you hadn't touched on the Acorn thing. Well, I don't even know where to start. You know, if anybody's seen those tapes and those undercover videos, and Ryan said, I don't know where else it's happened. Well, it's happened in not only in D.C., it's happened in Baltimore, it's happened in New York City, and there's one other place. Believe you me, Acorn is going to be investigated. They have to be investigated. Because if they don't, there will be another uprising. Because this is an organization that, on the stimulus bill, received $5 billion. And they have shown themselves to be nothing but a criminal organization. Now, Ryan's theory is it might come back to bite the Republicans on the backside. Because he said if you go into those same areas and go into a Republican headquarters or a Democrat headquarters, you're going to get the same response. I love the fact Ryan's out there. We've had great conversations with him. I'm getting ready to send him a T-shirt. But no, you wouldn't, because Acorn's deal is under the guise, the false guise we now see, of registering voters for the community. They are community organizers. That's what the CO of Acorn stands for. You know, and you've got the grand poobah of community organizers in the White House. And by the way, he worked for Acorn back in the day, as they say here in the tri-state area. Yeah, Republicans and Democrats, both of the parties, are interested in signing up voters. But what you've seen in these videos is they have taken. They get them. They have taken this to new levels of felonies. You've got people going in there saying, "Listen, I've got 13 girls I want to bring over from El Salvador. They're about 14 years old. How am I gonna? How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna handle my taxes? How do I do this with the revenue? What do I do? In effect, how do I cheat?" And they're more than happy, Acorn, to say, "Well, here's what you need to do. You know, you need to claim them as dependents. You need to you're a prostitute. Okay, well then what we'll do is," the Acorn rep is leafing through and going, "Well, let's just say you're in dance, you're in the performing arts. Let's use that." They're guiding them through on how to commit multiple felonies, and I dare say, a Republican headquarters or a Democrat headquarters, either one. There's not a whole lot of tidings of goodwill that have been built up over our political parties. But I would like to think our political parties are not going to sit there and say, "Oh yeah, you're a hooker? Great, here's what we need to do. All right, we need to get you signed up as a Republican. We need to get you signed up as a Democrat. Oh, you want to figure out how you're going to cheat on your taxes? Yeah, here, this is what..." They're not going to do that. I find that hard to believe. But Ryan is of the opinion that maybe you might get the same response. I would hate to think that our political parties have devolved into such criminal behavior. Now, political parties as a whole, granted, there's all kinds of criminal behavior up on Congress, up on Capitol Hill. There's all kinds of individual criminal behavior up there in how they do things. Ryan, we appreciate the fact that you're out there. You are going to get your T-shirt, by the way. I'm glad you called in. The Acorn thing, I think it's going to play out. I think their funding's going to be pulled. There's going to be investigations into them, as well there should be. But what's going to interest me is the media going to actually notice? They know it already. But are they going to actually report on the fact that our president used to work with Acorn? Are they going to report that? I don't think so. You're only going to hear it about this through dastardly talk shows and, I dare say, over that evil internet. That's the only place that you're going to hear about it when this investigation gets going. You know, one thing the internet affords you is anonymity. That is for sure. And, you can be whomever you want to be on the internet. Man, we are just multimedia specialists is what it comes down to, multimedia here at Airing It Out. And, you know, we've got our own investigators out there, don't we? I'm going to ask that question again. We've got our own investigators out there, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You can't fool us for very long. Over at drewskaggs.com. Whew, okay.
The internet is a fun place to be sometimes.
It's hilarious, really.
Yeah.
It's just really fun stuff. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Oh, that's right. Jimmy Carter called us racists. But before we get into that, I really want to play. Have you ever heard? There's no reason to have heard from him or of him. Henry Johnson. He goes by Hank. Imagine that.
No.
He's from Georgia. He's a Democrat. Joe Wilson from South Carolina, the one that yelled "You lie" to the president,
right,
during his speech to the joint sessions of Congress. That we've covered ad nauseum, but they censured him. That is censured. For those of you in Argolite, I'm taking off on
the possum ranch.
Yes, the possum ranch is no. I don't mean anything by that. That's all in chuckles. Yeah. So, anyways, they censured him This is what this goofball. Now, this guy is an elected representative. He's in the very august body known as the House of Representatives. Why he claims that Joe Wilson needed to be censured.
Help the cause of diversity and tolerance with his remarks. If I were a betting man, I would say that it instigated more racist sentiment, feeling that it's okay. You don't have to bury it now. You can bring it out, talk about it fully. And so I guess we'll probably have folks putting on white hoods and white uniforms again and riding through the countryside, intimidating people. And,
can't take any more of this. Unless Joe Wilson was censured, we were going to have the KKK riding through the countryside of the United States. They were going to feel like they could put their white sheets back on and ride through the countryside. I kid you not, you just heard it. Joe Wilson said you lie as our president made policy statements. He never said a word about race. But yet here comes the race card. If we don't censure Joe Wilson, the KKK is going to be able to ride through the countryside yet again. You mean the KKK as in Robert Byrd? The exalted cyclops of the West Virginia branch of the KKK back in 1994, who wrote a letter to segregationist Mississippi Senator Theodore Bilbo. And in 44, the same guy you serve with, Representative, if you're looking for KKK, Robert Byrd wrote, "I shall never fight in the armed services with a Negro by my side. Rather, I should die 1,000 times and see Old Glory trampled in the dirt never to rise again than to see this beloved land of ours become degraded by race mongrels, a throwback to the blackest specimen from the wilds." Our own Robert Byrd said that, Representative Johnson. You've got to be kidding me. When all else fails, and trust me, all else is failing. Healthcare's going down the tubes. Cap and tax is going down the tubes. Unemployment, unfortunately, rising. Everything is going wrong. So what do? They play the race card. Naturally, you've got to play it. And as if on cue, here comes the peanut farmer. One of the three worst presidents of the 20th century, a one-term president, because he was so bad. A president that presided. You think we've got it bad now at 9.7% unemployment and 3 to 4% inflation? Try 13% unemployment and 22% inflation. That's what we had under James Earl Carter. And Rasmussen came out today and said 55% of Americans now don't favor universal health coverage. This plan going through Congress. 55% of Americans. And Jimmy Carter calls those that don't believe in that, don't believe in socialism, don't believe in universal health care, he calls us racist.
A certain number of signs and images at last weekend's big Tea Party march on Washington and at other recent events have featured racial and other violent themes, and President Carter today said he is extremely worried by it.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man, that he's African-American. I live in the South, and I've seen the South come a long way, and I've seen the rest of the country that shared the South's attitude toward minority groups at that time, particularly African-Americans. that racism inclination still exists. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country. It's an abominable circumstance and grieves me and concerns me very deeply.
Mr. President, you mean like the ones that elected him? You make no sense. We elect the first black man as president of the United States, yet we're still a racist country. Are there pockets of racism? Of course there are pockets of racism. And racism cuts in a lot of different directions. It's just not black-white. It's just not white-black. There's religious racism. I mean, we've gone through it before. Racism will always exist. You cannot legislate morality, but we, the United States, elected a black man as president, but yet we're still racist. He is telling us what he believes. That is what's happening. So Jimmy Carter can say this is racism. You mean racism like this, Jimmy Carter, when you were talking about President Obama before he was president just 18 months ago? Is this the racism you're talking about?
And do you think that if it happens that he is elected, or even just being nominated, yes, will send ripple, positive ripple effects throughout the country on the race issue?
All around the world. And I think it already has sent a wave of approbation and admiration in many countries around the world, just knowing that this black boy who grew up with just a loving mother and grandparents.
You heard it. This black boy. Is that the racism you're talking about, Jimmy? Because it sure sounds like it. Any Republican utters that phrase, they are drawn and quartered and run out of D.C. Hey, Jimmy, you're white. We never liked you. That's why you were a one-term president, pal. We never liked you. We saw what you brought. At least Obama's likable. There's a big difference. Your policies, not only were they a train wreck, we didn't like you. Obama's policies are a train wreck. At least he's likable. There's a big difference. Peanut farmer. I swear. Quit it with the race card. I am sick and tired of it. This has nothing to do with race. This has everything to do with policies. How do you explain the fact that he still has favorable numbers, he being the current president of the United States, because Lord knows Jimmy Carter doesn't. The current president of the United States still has favorable numbers, depends on the poll, anywhere from 51 to 55%. Meanwhile, the policies that he's pushing are completely backwards from that. You got 55%, don't want anything to do with this healthcare thing. Every single policy initiative he has pushed, people don't like it, but they like him. Wouldn't it stand to reason that if this was a racial thing, this policy disagreement, that favorability number of his would be lower if it was purely racism? And I've said this before, and I took some heat from it. I'm going to say it again. This president would not have even been nominated for president if he wasn't the color he is. Had he been white, he would have been laughed at and told to come back later when you got some experience under your belt. And yeah, I got a problem with that. But it's real life. And that's anything but racism. And more so, it's a far cry from Martin Luther King's dream to look beyond the color of one's skin and at the character of the person. Skaggs, you are out of your mind saying that. No, I'm not. It's the truth. I know it doesn't sound good. I know a lot of people don't want to hear it. But it's the flat-out truth. We wanted to expunge our racial past, and we saw it with Barack Obama. In 88, we weren't going to do a race baiter like Jesse Jackson. It wasn't happening. People saw him for what he was. Barack Obama, he was an empty canvas. And people put on that canvas what they wanted from him. Hope, change. Didn't know what it meant. Sounded really good. And by golly, we're going to prove that we can elect a black man as president. And that's what happened. That's not racism. That's not racial. That's a fact of life. But for Jimmy Carter, an ex-president, to come out and utter those things is utterly absurd. It has nothing to do with race. Nothing at all. It has everything to do with the policies, and Jimmy Carter knows it. And Henry Johnson knows it. You know, Hillary Clinton, she had that shriek where she was talking about dissent. Have we got that really quick? By the way, before you pull this up, this Henry Johnson, what he says about if we don't censure Joe Wilson, there's going to be the KKK riding in the countryside again with white sheets. How is that not worse than what Joe Wilson said? It's worse on so many levels, it's not even funny. But anyways, you got this from Hillary, right? Let's just remember this from Hillary.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Dissent is the greatest form of patriotism. Oh, but in 2 short years, dissent now is the greatest form of racism. Barack Obama earned the presidency. He ran a fantastic campaign. He deserves to be president of the United States because he earned it. Let there be no doubt about that, in case you're wondering. And who he ran against was a rhino that ran a pathetic campaign. Just so we're clear on that. I'm not laughing at that. Jeez, you know, this internet thing.
It is distracting.
Yeah. I'm trying. It's like a car wreck.
Yeah.
You don't want to watch. Yeah, but you do.
Yeah.
You just can't help it.
Exactly.
Do you think Homer knows about the internet? The internets?
I think he did learn a little bit about it.
Yeah, from Al Gore.
Of course.
And as always, Homer leads us into the segment that traditionally ends our show, known as the world famous stupid stuff.
Oh, how come things that happen to stupid people keep happening to me?
Dateline AP cop: man loses stepson while trying to buy drugs. Philadelphia police said a man out buying drugs flagged down officers after he couldn't find the car he'd parked with his 6-year-old stepson inside. The man was charged with endangering the welfare of a child and recklessly endangering another person. Say he was out buying drugs. Why didn't he get charged for that?
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, some kids just have no chance in life. And that's an example right there. Another AP article. One of our favorite organizations, PETA, wants to turn Virginia Prison into Chicken Museum. An animal rights group wants to rent a prison building the state plans to close and turn it into the nation's first chicken empathy museum. Now, if I'm KFC, or I'm Popeyes, or my new favorite, I can't remember it. Canes? I don't know. There's one in Lexington.
I don't know.
They just serve chicken, is what they serve. I would be right there, putting mine directly across the street.
Chicken.
From the Chicken Empathy Museum. A PETA official sent a letter Monday to Governor Tim Kaine asking to rent the building in Troutville. Kaine spokeswoman Linda Tran said the state doesn't lease to private entities except for cases grandfathered in when it purchases buildings. PETA spokeswoman Ashley Byrne, let me rephrase that. PETA lunatic spokeswoman Ashley Byrne said the Norfolk-based group thinks a former prison is the ideal setting for exhibits on what it contends is mistreatment of chickens raised for slaughter. The museum would have displays detailing chickens' habits and intelligence. Wow. Could you imagine that display? It would probably fit chicken intelligence. It would. Why would you need to rent a building? It would fit on a poster stamp. It's a chicken. I didn't claw my way up the food chain to eat vegetables only. I want to eat steak, PETA. What are they going to serve there? Just chicken wings, you think? Probably not. You know, how come nobody ever says, wow, man, that tastes just like arugula? Or, wow. That stuff tastes just like lettuce. Man, that is yummy. Nobody says that. Do they? Have you?
No.
I mean, just
I've
saying.
Never heard that.
I know, either have I. Dateline San Diego. California couple who admitted... Have we got caught? I don't know why I put that one up. Have we got the let's do that again. Dateline... You know, CP is just laughing himself silly right now. Dateline San Diego, California couple who admitted shoplifting on TV, charged. A Southern California couple who went on national TV to brag about making $100K shoplifting toys and selling their loot on eBay has pled not guilty to federal conspiracy charges in San Diego. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Listen, I know you got me on tape, and I know the Springer show was rolling, and you had a lot of people going, Jerry, Jerry. But listen, we were just kidding. I mean, how do you go on and say, yeah, we shoplifted $100,000?
If it's Springer, we already know it's fake anyway.
Yeah, that's true. The federal grand jury doesn't agree with you. They issued an indictment and said authorities seized more than 500 boxes of stolen toys when they raided Laura and Matthew Eaton's home in San Marcos with a search warrant in March. They were arrested Friday, face at least 28 months in prison if convicted of conspiracy to transport stolen property. Oh, man, they didn't even appear on Springer. They appeared on the Dr. Phil show. Speaking about swirling down the toilet bowl, Dr. Phil is going crazy. He's right there. They supported their three toddlers by shoplifting for 6 years. You know, the definition of toddlerhood is not 6 years.
No.
Of course, you got three of them. Toddlers. Well, I guess that may... Dateline Huron Township, Michigan, my old stomping grounds. Shotgun wielding man tasered after manure dispute.
I didn't do anything! Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! I can't do it!
An oldie but a goodie from the Kerry campaign of 2004. Police said a dispute over manure led to a man firing his shotgun near his neighbor's and police later using a taser to subdue him. The Saginaw News reported the man approached his neighbors in Huron Township, about 110 miles north of Detroit, Saturday, as they spread lime and manure on their farm. Obviously, it seems to have hit the fan in Huron Township. But my take on this is, if manure spreading is illegal, Barack Obama and the rest of Capitol Hill better start running now. If manure spreading is illegal, because we're seeing it day in and day out. God, it's been a fun show, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah.
This has been just a very fun show. Have we got the thing to end with Kanye interrupting our president? I mean, you can say one thing about Joe Wilson, but when Kanye interrupts you, that's where the line is drawn.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Not true.
It's not true. I think the president disagrees.
I think so.
Sounds like the president disagrees that Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Yeah.
See, what I don't understand about this whole rigmarole, Taylor Swift won for best female video, but Beyonce won for, like, best video of the year.
Yeah.
Now, how do you square that? If you're... Don't you sweep them?
You would think so.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Kanye was upset.
If you're good at being a female, you know, in the video, then you would think that a female that was the best female would win the best video.
Best overall video.
Right.
After all, it is Beyonce.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get here. It is like a box of chocolates here at airing it out, because had no intentions of talking, never thought Neil Armstrong, Lou Gehrig, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Kanye, the president, the peanut farmer, just never thought that all those would meld into such a delicious show. And I'm going to go get some chicken on that note. The next edition of Airing It Out will be, what is today?
Today's Wednesday.
See, CP's gonna nail me on that, too. Yeah, today's Wednesday. The next edition of Airing It Out will be this Sunday at 5 p.m., where we'll be celebrating a Kentucky Wildcat win over the Louisville Cardinals, as well as celebrating an Ashland Tomcat victory, finally, over the Ironton Fighting Tigers. Am I gonna make Ironton people mad?
I don't know.
I'm a conservative. I'm an Ashland homer. Yeah. I can't hide from that.
Yeah,
I've got great respect for the Ironton program, Bob Lutz, et al. However, after losing 118 straight games, or whatever the number is, to the Ironton Fighting Tigers, just once. I'm not asking for it. Just once every 119 games, I want to see the Tomcats win. And I'm not going to apologize for that. Nor should I have to apologize for that.
Okay.
I'm more confident in the Kentucky Wildcats, however. So tune in Friday. Tune in Sunday at 5 p.m., and we'll continue the conversation. As for this evening, thanks so much for listening.
He's a jackass.
You've been listening to Airing It Out with Drew Skaggs, a presentation of the best country, 105.7 WLGC.